Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows? Psalter 348, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together. It can be found in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 1 through 30. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, the first 30 verses. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, heaven is head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. And neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. And now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, I shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when it is pleased thee in thy condescending mercy to gather us and our children by renewal on this holy day of rest within the walls of thy house of prayer, and when we attempt to call upon thy most holy name, that it is so necessary that we have profound impressions unto whom we speak, where thou art high and lifted up, and we are poor creatures and sinners of the dust that transgress in so many ways. And then it is so needful that we have profound impressions of our unworthiness, and yet our eyes upon thee, because, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. May we be given to beg fervently for thy blessing, for thy favor, and for a token of thy goodness. Thou knowest how that each and every soul has come up to thy house in this hour, Lord. May there have yet beggars come up, and may souls be made beggars in thy house, and that by the first time and by renewal, we are so dependent upon thee for everything. May we be given to realize it more. Ah, grant that tender and that dependent life. In this evening hour, 'tis an hour of preparation. Oh, each Lord's Day, that ought to be a Lord's Day of preparation, where it could be our last, only one step between us and death. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may cause thy light to shine. Thou knowest most perfectly who are thine. Thou knowest most perfectly who was poor and lost sinners have come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son. Souls that have learned to hunger and thirst, souls that have learned to weep, souls that have experienced that by their works they can never be justified. And to that end, may it please thee on the coming Lord's Day that thou may watch over thy table to bring and to draw those that have a divine right, and all the rest, that they may come in the need, a great need, that one thing needful, to be converted as thou doth convert all thy people. And where thou hast begun by thy grace to lead further in the mysteries of salvation, to that end, may we be given to remember one another at the throne of grace. Lord, thou hast a people that can be so tossed and fro, times that they know it no more. But when thou cometh over, and some light may shine in the darkness, then their way may be made plain. The psalmist has declared, in thy light we shall see light. Do bless thy holy word in the midst of the church on the Sabbath day during the week. Bless thy holy word in the family circles, and bless thy holy word in our Christian school. we commend unto thee thy church all over the earth, the established congregations, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, mission fields, our mission field. We commend unto thee the people in Bolivia, thy servant, the team, and that people in Peru. The labors are manifold in thy kingdom, and to that end we may humbly ask of thee that thou may thrust out more servants, converted, called, and sent by thee, to incline a heart to become a church worker, and also the need for teachers in our Christian schools is great. We commend unto thee the many temporal needs, widowers, widows, half orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Do continue to uphold them. Remember the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones, the old widow who was in the hospital, who may return to Bethesda. May the means be further blessed. Grant a token of thy favor. A young son who in the day of tomorrow shall be taken to a larger hospital for further testing, investigation, ah Lord. May it please thee to grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding. Remember him together with his parents and family. Remember those under the doctor's care, those undergoing treatments with all the fears and the concerns, the struggles with weakness and difficulties of the mind. O Lord, do remember with those that are near and dear unto them. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Do bless the family circles. Lord, wilt thou remember us and our children in these solemn and serious times, wars and rumors of war, much turmoil and much unrest. The love of many is waxing cold, many false Christs. And to that end we commend unto thee the many suffering upon the earth, our Lord. Then how blessed and privileged we are, even with trials and difficulties. We remember the hungry ones, those in countries where there is war, death and mourning, the homeless, the destitute, those living in refuge camps. And remember the great multitudes that have not thy word, great multitudes in this country that desire not thy word, and so many being deceived, they also have a soul for an never-ending eternity. And our Lord, then thou blessest us and our children so richly and so abundantly. May it be blessed by thee. because otherwise all our privileges, all of our blessings, the day of day they shall rise up against us, and they shall condemn us. To that end, may it please thee then in this evening hour, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, to be filled with a holy jealousy, to truly become unconverted, and then they shall become seekers, followers, and also finders of thee. To that end, Lord, do grant thy gracious help. Each time is a new time. Fill our hearts with love to our fellow travelers to eternity, and love to the Master. Paul has declared, the love of Christ constraineth us, our Lord. Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 233, the first five stanzas. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear, O God. Thy trusting servant heed. And what follows, Psalter 233, the first five stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 44, the question and answers 114 and 115. Question 114, but can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? Answer, no. But even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of this obedience. Yet so, that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live, and not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. Question 115. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, as since no man in this life can keep them? Answer first, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Lord's Day 44, question and answer 114 and 115. Four points for examination for the partaking of the Lord's Supper. With four thoughts in the first place, the sincere resolution regarding the law. Secondly, the increased knowledge and sorrow through the law. Thirdly, the more earnestly seeking Christ for the transgression of the law. And in the fourth place, more conformable to God's image reflecting the law. 4 points for examination for the partaking of the Lord's Supper. The sincere resolution regarding the law, the increased knowledge and sorrow through the law, the more earnestly seeking Christ for the transgression of the law, and finally, more conformable to God's image reflecting the law. Beloved congregation, we have read together out of 1 Corinthians 11. Where the Apostle Paul was given to speak of the Lord's worship and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and then the exhortation, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper that has been instituted by a holy Savior, and that for a holy purpose. As we read it in our Heidelberg Catechism, for the true people of God, that their faith may be strengthened and their lives more holy. We read in Exodus 25, verse 22, concerning the building of the tabernacle, a sanctuary for the Lord. And there the Lord has said unto Moses, there will I meet with thee and commune with thee from off the mercy seat. And so it is with the Lord's Supper, what it may please the King of the Church, with the signs and the seals of the Lord's Supper, the broken bread and the poured out wine, and then in a special way, by the Holy Spirit with his presence, that he meets and communes with his people. When we have some impression thereof, and then we shall also come to the table soberly and darkly dressed, with a profound impression, a special meeting. On the coming Lord's Day, when the Lord granteth it, and when by renewal the sacrament hopes to be administered, then on account of the size of the podium, then we hope to administer the sacrament with the first and with the second table. May the Lord grant us help and grant his blessing. And now in Lord's Day 44, then the instructors, they have written profound things when they have come to the end of the explanation of the holy law. And what fitting points concerning the administration of the Lord's Supper and concerning that required examination. Because young and old, we need a wedding garment. Think of Matthew 22, where there was a supper and there was a soul without one. And now our first point, the instructors of the Heidelberg Catechism, they have been so clearly taught by the Spirit in the things of the Lord. And each time by renewal separating the precious from the vile, but in doing so, then the true child of God may hear their heart, their life, and their exercises declared, and then also examination how far the child has been led. When we read these answers, when we read our Heidelberg Catechism, then the instructors, they stress each time by renewal that tender, that dependent and close life at the throne of grace, exercised with the profound things of the Lord and desiring a new meeting and to experience that sweet communion. thus not to live off of old manna, it is true, can be times when the child of God is given to reflect what the Lord has done in former days, a faithful God for an unfaithful people. Then the old may become new. But congregation, people of God, do we not read of the children of Israel with that manna? And that was not manna of 5 or 10 years old, but only a few days, and that it was full of worms. Thus our first point, the sincere resolution regarding the law. And then the instructors have asked, oh, let me add, there was a Bishop Usher, a very godly man. There was even a God-fearing woman that said to that bishop, I hope I may be present at your deathbed. And then Bishop Usher has stated, I shall die as a poor sinner, have learned, saved by free and sovereign grace, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost. But then that bishop has stated at a certain time, as he became older, that he was more troubled with the sins of omission than commission. He did not state that he did not commit those sins, but more troubled with the sins of omission than commission. And then the instructors have asked, but can those who are converted, do you hear it? My unconverted fellow travelers, it speaks of those that are converted, whether they can perfectly keep these commandments. The instructors have not asked whether the unconverted can. May that be the burden in this evening, for this one or for that one. In an hour of preparation, may it please the King to shoot arrows into the hearts of the King's enemies, because that is necessary, congregation. We need to be born again. We need to be uncovered to our sin. We need to become new creatures. Oh, when we read in this Lord's Day, when it asks about the converted and not asking about the unconverted, may that become such an unbearable burden that many a sigh and many a cry may ascend to the heavens, and that many may say, Lord, by renewal, we have stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, and I have heard the Ten Commandments explained, strew with many shortcomings. And Lord, I have heard how guilty I am, unconverted, without God, without Christ, and without hope in this world. And Lord, if I am not converted, then my rightful place shall be in the bottom of hell. But oh, may it please thee to shoot then an arrow in my heart, that I may become one of thine, and that I may become a true seeker, earnestly seeking thee, the living God, needing, the pardoning of sins. Oh, it may be declared that thou wast given thy dear Son for sinners, and Lord, that is now the portion I need. But now the question, but can those who are converted to God, by God, and we have heard of that true conversion in Lord's Day 33, a few simple sentences, but it is a matters that are not strange to the true child of God. The mortification of the old man, it is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins, and more to hate and flee from them. And the Lord has a people upon the earth for whom that is not a strange matter. Uncovered, guilty, a hating and fleeing from sin. Do we not read in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 that godly sorrow that worketh repentance not to be repented of? The Lord has a people that know what it is to weep bitterly. Do we not read in Jeremiah 31 that they shall come with weeping and supplication? What is the quickening of the new man? It is a sincere joy of heart in God. And that is not a strange matter to the true child of God. The sweetness and the blessedness of the service of the Lord. But now, to be led further, and that is now necessary to partake of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me. And then to be led further, the foundation of that sincere joy of heart is through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. But can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? There are those in the church that declare they are called perfectionists, that the church can come to a state of perfection. I would think for many of them that they understand not rightly, or they have been so darkened in their understanding and are so dead, because otherwise a person shall realize that he remains a sinner unless there are those that understand it so, to live without reproach to our neighbor. But now the answer. But even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of disobedience. Thus it speaks of the holiest men. We read of an Enoch and of a Noah that they walked with God. What a close and tender life that a Samuel had. Oh, think of Daniel, that praying Daniel. Read Daniel 9, where he was given to confess his sins the sins of his people, Lord. Unto us belongeth confusion of face, but unto thee belongeth righteousness. The most holiest of men, they have but a small beginning of disobedience, but they do have a beginning. Let us examine ourselves honestly. A small beginning in this life, 'tis a beginning, because faith worketh by love. And when there is love, then we try to please and not to grieve. And now this statement, not to hide behind it, not to justify yourself. There we have it, only a small beginning. Thus, I can excuse myself, justify myself, that not such a strict life, not so separated from the world, as long as I have a small beginning. But now the instructors, they are given to separate the precious from the vile. And that separation is, yet so, that with a sincere resolution, the instructors of the Heidelberg Catechism, they use that word sincere, that is genuine, real. Thus the instructors speak not of a Christendom, does not have to be so strict. There is no perfection. The old man is not converted. We can speak very reformed. And we can say it without that sorrow. But the instructors, it is another tune. Yet so, that speaks of that godly sorrow, that they have such a small beginning, the true child of God, oftentimes given to examine whether they have a beginning. Rebecca, in Genesis 25, verse 22, prayed for a child for 20 years. And then those twins, why am I thus, Lord? How can it all go together? Can be such riddles. But the Lord shall instruct his child. Oh, that great prophet shall teach them more and more. And now, in this answer, it separates, but it also encourages the true child of God. Then we may look in their heart, yet so, that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live. Psalm 119, sometimes called the ABC of the Christian. Oh, then the psalmist is given to speak of precepts. His resolution with the help of the Lord in prayer, that the Lord may grant it. Thus in that answer, then we may look in the heart of a child of God, those times, oh, people of God, was it more so? Can be so lukewarm as in the church of Laodicea. going to be so dead as in Sardis. But now the Lord has a people. Lord, have a small beginning. Have heard the law by renewal. The context of gratitude. Yet so that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. Psalm 119, verse 96, then the psalmist has said that the law is exceeding broad. And then in verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation by day and by night. Thus in that answer, then we have repentance, godly sorrow, a continual work of the Spirit. In our Heidelberg Catechism, for those who are truly sorrow for their sins, our second thought, the increased knowledge and sorrow through the law. Question 115. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? Answer, first, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature. Thus it is against the proud Pharisee. So Lord's Day is also against the antinomian. Then we have not a rich Christian. Oh, they are rich in an other. In the Lord Jesus Christ. But of self, a poor and needy, in the way of gratitude, in the explanation of the law, the instructors that all our lifetime we may learn more and more. Instructors use that word more often. Oh, people of God, what an instruction and what an examination. The instructors do not say that there was a time when we had convictions, some sorrow, profound impressions of divine realities, the need for forgiveness, and now we continue in an easy way, resting upon those convictions, a change, feelings, emotions, a text, the list can be long. But then the instructors, oh, in our two questions of this Lord's Day, then it is clearly explained, misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Not first the time of misery, then deliverance, and then gratitude. No, each time by renewal. And we have already heard in our first point of the gratitude, because when the Lord begins, what shall I render unto the Lord? How shall I please him? It is true, in the beginning can be much work holiness, but nevertheless, on account of that love to please the Lord, if it was possible, to never sin against that great God by renewal. But now first, that all our lifetime, Zephaniah 3 verse 12, I have left in the midst of thee a poor and afflicted people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. Romans 7, and Paul has come to a knowledge of the three persons of the Trinity. And there he was given to declare that wretched man. But thank our Lord Jesus Christ, who giveth the victory. First, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more. So profitable, the blessing, and the closer that the child of God may live with the King, the more they are given to see their nonconformity. Think of Isaiah. In Isaiah 6, when he saw that vision with those holy cherubims, crying out, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Prophet that had a close life, woe unto me, a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of God. How long has it been ago that you have experienced that sorrow? Oh, for the child of God, after receiving grace, different how far they have been led, and then to commit sin against so much goodness and so much grace, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more. So we have not a rich Christian. We have said it, rich in Christ, but poor in self. More and more to know our sinful nature. And thus, that is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 330, the four stanzas. Thou who didst make and fashion me, O make me wise thy law to learn. Then they that fear thee shall be glad, when they my hope in God discern. And what follows, 330, the four stanzas. Thank you. of 4 points for examination for the partaking of the Lord's Supper. The sincere resolution regarding the law. And then the church is given to choose him as their king. The increased knowledge and sorrow through the law by his prophetical office. And now the third point, the more earnestly seeking Christ for the transgression of the law. The law has been given for uncovering. We read in Galatians that the law is a schoolmaster to bring to Christ. And now our instructors depart of gratitude and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Then the instructors are given to speak of a soul for whom the mediator has been revealed. Oh, for a soul that is given to hunger and thirst after righteousness. A soul that may be given to look outside of self. A soul that is given to look upon Christ. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, a soul for whom Christ has become necessary, suitable, precious, and altogether lovely. But now the instructors are given to speak of the continual exercises in people of God. What a blessing and what a privilege it is. Also with respect to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he grants those special exercises. Exercises at the throne of grace. Ah, the church learns that it is all given good. Oh, in the beginning, then those souls that did not have to beg for tears, they flowed so freely, a weeping. Because of their lost condition, a holy jealousy concerning the people of God. And then such a soul, they can meet one that is longer on the way. And such a one can complain, so barren. Dry tears, so listless, so lukewarm. Ah, those beginners, they cannot understand it. Too much respect to say anything. But they do not understand it. But the instructors thus become more earnest. That is not without the first sentence. That is a more living in of our sinful nature, of the flesh, and that by the preaching of the law in gratitude. And now for a people that is given to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ, and more earnest in seeking. For those souls, the King, Christ, has instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the signs and the seals of the covenant, the broken bread, the poured out wine, his unfathomable and matchless love, that in that earnest seeking, that their faith may be enlivened, and that it may be strengthened, the more earnest in seeking. Thus the instructors do not only speak of a seeking in the beginning, oh, when the Lord works, then we become a seeker. Then we become a trader with heaven, with those godly pearls. But now we read in that parable of Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46, that trader has come upon a pearl so precious, so beautiful, given to sell all his other pearls. And our instructors, the more earnest in seeking their remission, thus that is exercises in the life of a child of God to be led further in the mysteries of salvation. As Peter not stated, 2 Peter 1 verse 10, make their calling and election sure. And in 2 Peter 3 verse 18, of the growing in grace, the more earnest in seeking their remission of sin. And when we read that statement, we have heard already in Lord's Day 23 that the instructors were given to speak of the justification of the sinner in the court of conscience. But the child of God, the way of sanctification, as Christ not taught his people to pray, and the prayer which he has taught the church, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, and seeking the remission of sin and righteousness of Christ. The first refers to justification, and the second to sanctification, our last thought. More conformable to God's image, reflecting the law. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God. There's a thermometer for the child of God, their prayer life. People of God, what think you of the explanation? Must we not hang our heads in shame? Oh, for the child, that distance, that listlessness, may it become an unbearable burden in this week to be brought at his footstool to learn what the instructors, oh, Zacharias, Ursinus, Caspar, Olivianus, they were not 75 or 80, 26, 28 years old. how clearly, how scripturally led concerning the things of the Lord. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God. Oh, what an exhortations, what a promises, what an examples we have in the Scriptures concerning prayer. Blessed that people, those times, that they may be bound at the throne of grace. Thomas Goodwin, a Puritan, has stated that those blessings are most precious, that are won by prayer, and that are worn by thanks. And now for that prayer, further described in the coming Lord's Day. Oh, for the child of God, the threefold offices of the Lord Jesus Christ, more necessary and more precious. Prophet to teach, the king to reign, it remains a militant church against that triple-headed enemy. And as priest to atone, to pray and to thank, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, the instructors. Do not speak of an automatic blessing. Each time by renewal, and that concerns word and sacrament, needs the application of the Holy Spirit. That we may become more and more. We read that word more 5 times in this Lord's Day. More and more. Also find it in the Bible. Become more and more conformable to the image of God. How was that experienced? Less sin, and to become a greater sinner. It's a blessed portion. One that may be granted to the child of God. Do less sin and become a greater sinner in self. The reflection of the holy law of God, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God. Peter and John in Acts 4, after that lame man has been healed, and they were called to appear before the council, then it is written, Acts 4, verse 13, that the Sanhedrin perceived that they had been with Jesus. It was reflected in their talk and in their walk, more conformable to the image of God. Tell. Not maybe. Ah, that is the comfort for the child of God. The strife shall come a time that it shall end. When shall that be? The day of their death. Till we arrive, O God's people, at the end. they shall be taken home before the throne. John has seen it with those white long garments, palm branch in their hand, saying the praises of the Lord till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Congregation, what profound instruction, what fitting instruction to examine our hearts, our souls, our lives, our exercises concerning the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The instructors profoundly taught, so scriptural, shall not all be a strange matter. Let us close. Oh, with the psalmist in Psalm 42, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O God, for thee, yea, for the living God. Verse 5, O my soul, why art thou cast down? Why so disquieted within me? When we read the instruction, the Lord requires, then how the soul can be cast down. But then the soul is added, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, and that is only possible through the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then in this evening hour, we have received profound instruction from our forefathers, where they have scripturally explained the life of thy true people, the true work of the Lord. May we be given to examine each of our hearts concerning that instruction, and that instruction, that scriptural instruction, that either excludes or includes. Wilt thou grant meditation, and may it be turned into prayer. O Lord, do remember, in a week of preparation, convert what is unconverted, uncover false foundations, and remember thy Zion. We may commence another week. We may commence another month, already 2 months of this newly begun year have quickly run its course. O Lord, may it please thee to watch over us, to care, spare, provide, protect. Remember the mothers in the home with the children, at work, at school, on the way, wherever we are called to be. Remember those that are called upon to work in the night watches, the sick, the elderly, the emergency departments. Wilt thou keep from an unexpected but above all from an unprepared death. Keep us from sin and temptation. Take us under thy kind care. Wilt thou bring us together by renewal for a weekday service, for further examination. Bring us now safely to our homes. May it please thee. Even in the night watches, that there may be times that we may be busy with these most holy matters. May it please thee to grant some rest, that in the day of tomorrow we may have health, strength, courage, and desire for our labors. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 140, the three stanzas. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. And what follows, 140, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.